In a healthy family, every single member feels a strong sense of affection and belonging. Every sibling, each parent, understands their unique contribution to the household. And in like fashion, every member of God's family ought to embrace a special assignment that is uniquely theirs. Have you identified your spiritual gift? Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring another message in Chuck Swindoll's four-part series, Living Portraits of the Church. During the next half hour, we'll turn to the hallmark passage in 1 Corinthians that defines your distinctive role in God's family. Chuck Swindoll titled this message, Finding Your Place in the Body.
Studies in anatomy occupy the attention of every medical student in the world. If they ever hope to understand how to help people with physical needs, those students must know how the body is put together, how it functions, and what causes it to malfunction. Christians would do well to emulate students of medicine. Since we are members of His body, over which Christ serves as head, understanding the body would give us a better understanding of the church, how it is put together, how it functions, and how to respond when it malfunctions. Just as the human body is fearfully and wonderfully made, so is Christ's universal body. It is full of variety and diversity, yet harmony can still exist. It is designed to be active, healthy, and productive, yet disease can invade, bringing aches and pains, causing crippling results, and leading to a breakdown and even a paralysis of certain parts of the body. As we seek a better understanding of this third analogy of the church, the others were family and flock. Let's keep the mental picture of a body uppermost in our thinking, okay? Jesus often used analogies that are common to all of us in describing how the body of Christ is to function. Probably the best analogies are found in our passage for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 27. Again, if you have your Bible ready, 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, and some are Gentiles. Some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear Or, if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So, we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it, and if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To download the outline notes for today's sermon, go to insightworld.org. And now Chuck Swindoll on finding your place in the body.
Jesus was a master communicator. He had the ability to hold the attention of audiences that had been used to being bored for years. One of the men said after hearing him, "No one ever spoke like this one speaks." All of us are intrigued by the fact that this individual who came on the earth scene was able to do that sort of thing. And I, for one, have wondered why he had such skill as a communicator. I've studied his words, I've watched his style, I have examined the things that he said, and I've come to realize that he had this masterful ability to make the profound simple. He loved stories, for example. He never resorted to technical data and information that would be, well, boring and not easily understood by his audience. Who else could begin teaching on a deep subject by talking about a father who had two sons? One was younger, one was older. And the younger one decided to go his way, and immediately those who listened were caught up in the story. But someone asked him about the technical decision regarding how one ought to pay taxes. Should it be with the gross income, or should it be the net income, or how much does Caesar deserve and how much does God get? He took a coin in his hand and he said, "You render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and you render to God's that which is God's." As he looked at an audience that was filled with diversity, he talked about a farmer that went with seed and would sow some seed there on the hard soil, and some would be sown on the rocky soil, and some would be sown among thorns, and some seed would fall on the good soil. His disciples were at a loss to know what he was getting at, and he said, "Oh, this has nothing to do with literal seed and with real farmers. What I'm talking about is the Word of God. And the soil represents the souls of men and women. Some souls are hard, and when the seed is sown there, it never bears fruit. It never takes root. Some souls are like rocky soil, and even though they say they want the Word of God, as soon as tests come and the hot rays of God's hand on their lives occurs, they turn away from the things of God, and they never really believed at all. And yet there are some whose souls are like the thorny soil, and it has a way of growing up around an individual so that the cares of this world and deceitfulness brought on by riches and the lusts of other things creep in and strangle the word so that it doesn't bear fruit. Ah, and some souls are like good soil." All of these things are word pictures. And everyone can picture in his mind those scenes that Jesus portrayed. He was a master at that sort of thing. And so We shouldn't be surprised that those who follow in his teaching style use word pictures. The Apostle Paul is a master example of that sort of thing. When he came to some subject as intricate and tedious as the church, he didn't talk about all of the details that would confuse his audience. He wrote in terms of word pictures. And I have my Bible open to one of the famous word pictures of the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about a body made up of hands and feet and legs and arms, a head and a torso, a living body that represents the church of Jesus Christ. But before we get into the details of this, perhaps you're wondering, as I did when I examined the teaching of Christ, what are some of those benefits that come from analogies like those Jesus often used? And I think there are three. First of all, he uses the familiar to explain the unfamiliar. There's something about holding a coin in your hand that everybody can understand and identify with. And so while teaching on a subject that wouldn't be familiar, he started with where people were. They use the familiar to explain the unfamiliar. Second, as I've already said, they simplify the complicated. They illustrate the profound. No one would ever say that Jesus was simplistic or that his communication was superficial. But we all would have to admit that he talked in terms even a child could understand, and often he spoke to children as he addressed audiences. And so they simplify the complicated and they illustrate the profound. But I think of the most of all and the best of all three is that they provide word pictures that are easily remembered. We are going through these living portraits of the church in these several messages, and we've looked at pictures already in our minds. We've looked at the church as a growing family. We've looked at the church as a flock of sheep. Next time we're going to look at the church as a fruitful and productive vine. But today, the church is seen as a body. Now, if you've got your Bible open, let me give you some thoughts to hang on as we work our way through several verses of this chapter. I don't want to look at all the verses, and I don't want to look at any one in great detail, but let me give you the overall view of these verses 4 through 27 by suggesting they fall into two parts. Verses 4 through 11 seem to be emphasizing unity in the midst of diversity. For example, in verse 4, there are varieties of gifts, but there's the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God. He says again in verse 7 that it is all done for the common good. Once again, there's unity. And in verse 9, to another by the same Spirit, again, is unity. One Spirit, verse 9. Verse 11, by one and the same Spirit. The emphasis is on unity. Just as in the body that we have in ourselves, there is a skin that wraps its way around us like this external membrane holding muscle and blood and bones together, so the Spirit of God wraps himself around the body of Christ and gives it unity and direction and purpose. The emphasis in 4 through 11 is on unity. We'll let that go for the time being. We've looked at it before, and perhaps in the future we'll look at it again. But my emphasis falls on 12 through 27, where it seems as though Paul is underscoring diversity. There are all kinds of different things, any number of members within the body, but they are all part of the same unit. So I suppose we could say the emphasis in 12 through 27 is on diversity held together in unity. Now, with that in mind, let me give you three thoughts, three points as we work our way through 12 through 27 that I think will help explain some things about the church. Each of the three begins with the same statement, there are many parts. Now, again, think of the body. Think of a body with a head, hands, legs, feet, arms. Think of the glands, think of the organs, all of the different parts. And then with that in mind, let me give you three thoughts to go with it. First of all, there are many parts, But verses 15 through 20 teach us each one is important. Each one is important. Look at verse 12. Even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is the body of Christ. He sort of summarizes in verse 14, the body is not one member, but many. Now keep that in mind. Just as your body is made up of all of these organs, all of these members, all of these things that make it coordinated and healthy, so the body of Christ is made up of all these many parts. Each one is important. Now, give yourself permission to smile a little as you go through 15, 16, 17 of this chapter. You'll see Paul gets a little bit ridiculous and even absurd to make his point. For example, he gives the foot vocal cords, and he allows the foot to talk. And he says in verse 15, if the foot should say. Now, just before we read what the foot says, think of what your foot would say if it had a chance to talk. Think of how of the feelings in a foot. I mean, it's always tucked away in the dark, sitting in that smelly sock, hidden inside that shoe. I mean, you wouldn't think of pulling your shoe off, taking your sock or your stockings off, and showing your foot to somebody sitting right next to you. We just don't do that. The foot stays hidden. And so the foot, let's say, has feelings. Verse 15 tells us some of the feelings. Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body. Let's just assume the foot says that. Let's say the foot has these feelings. I want to be a hand. You very seldom cover the hand up, and then only because it's cold. I would like to be a hand that's able to touch people, feel things that are delicate. I would like to be a hand so that at least some of my work is seen and observed by the public. I would like to have pretty rings. I'd like to have a nice watch or a bracelet next to my hand. I mean, you can't do very much to the feet. Some people paint their toenails, but you don't even get to see that unless they're wearing sandals. Now, the foot might say, because I'm not a hand, I am not a part of the body. But you and I know, even though it may feel that way, it's a vital part of the body. Vital. In fact, it is an essential part of the body. Last Saturday night, we were meeting here at the church, enjoying a worship service together on the same subject as the church, the body of Christ, and we invited a young man named Craig. You may not know Craig, but we who do know Craig remember when he was able to walk on both legs. But because of cancer of the bone, Craig has lost his leg. And it has been amputated right up high next to the hip. And with the help of crutches, Craig came up to the platform and stood beside a microphone and told his story of how life was before and how life has changed since. It wasn't a time to feel sorry or feel pity for Craig. What it was a time for every person sitting here to look and to think. What life must be like without a leg, or for that matter, without a foot. Your ball-playing games are over. Those delightful times of frolicking out in the meadow have ended. The joy of driving a car is gone. It's something you don't think of until you see someone who lacks a member of the body. And then you say, how valuable is my leg. I thought as I walked out to my car, get ready to go home, how easy it is for me to put one foot in front of the other because I have both. What a remarkable change it would be if I didn't have one, just one foot. And even though the foot isn't a hand, the foot fills an important and vital function to the whole of the body. That's the point. Now here's another conversation that's going on in Paul's mind. He says, if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body. In other words, the ear is feeling sorry for itself. And you, I don't know if you've thought about it lately, but the ear never gets to see anything. And if it could, all it could see would be out to the side. It would never be able to see where you're going or where you've been. It would always see the flank. And the best you could do with an ear is hang something on it to make it nice looking. And if the ear were to be envious of anything, it would probably be envious of the eye and say, if I only could be an eye, then I would be able to enjoy the sights that I have missed all my life. But have you ever lost your hearing? Can you imagine being to the place where you no longer can hear the therapeutic, rhythmic sounds of the waves that crash against the ocean shoreline? Or the wind as it whistles through the pine trees on a mountainside? Or some giant symphonic sound that comes through one of the masterworks. And the ear drinks in those sounds. I've observed in my life in the church that when people begin to lose their hearing, they become less and less involved in the church. They cannot hear. They see well. Their sight is perhaps better than it's ever been because You tend to compensate. You rely more on those faculties that work for you. Just as one who is blind hears better than the rest of us because he or she is relying on hearing to get about. But if the ear just focuses on itself, comparing itself to the eye, before long it begins to think, I'm not that important. I'm not a vital part of the body. Is it for this reason any the less a part of the body? You know where this is going? Has nothing to do with ears, has nothing to do with eyes, nothing to do with feet or hands, any more than the dirt had to do with real dirt in Jesus' story. This is about you and me. This is about the person who cannot play the keyboard and therefore lives out his life longing to be able to play music like someone else who can. Or someone who doesn't teach, they just help. Well, that's all the foot does. The foot teaches nothing. But imagine life without a foot. Imagine the body of Christ without you. And for those who are given to the body to be the mouths who speak, think of the vital role of teaching among the family of God and showing mercy to those who hurt. Just as we should not discount our role, neither should we compare ourselves with those who happen to have gifts that don't happen to be ours. That's what it's teaching. In fact, if you think it was humorous in verses 14 and 15, you're in for a real surprise when we get to verse 17. If the whole body were an eye. Are you ready for this? 6'2" round eye. Big eyebrows, big batting of the eyes. Think of how you try to survive in the Santa Ana winds. You think it's bad with contacts. Think of one massive contact on your eyes. Think of trying to get into the car. Think of designing a dress to wear, ladies. There's 1,000 absurd thoughts you can have with this absurd illustration, and it's absurd on purpose, just as you are made up of eyes and ears and nose and mouth and head and neck, and right on down, so the body of Christ.
Well, we're just getting underway on this topic. This is Insight for Living, and you're listening to a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Finding Your Place in the Body. Insight for Living is online at insightworld.org. Perhaps the summer months are providing a little more leisure time than usual. Well, there's a brand new resource we'd like to slip into your hands. It's a prayer journal exclusively prepared and provided by Insight for Living. Chuck has written about 12 of his favorite prayer warriors, and he's left plenty of room in this spiral-bound book for you to write down your own private requests and to track God's answers. When you give a donation of any amount to Insight for Living, be sure to request the journal called Passionate Prayer. It comes with our sincere thanks for your investment in this nonprofit ministry. If you're listening in the United States, here's where to call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Again, when you give a donation of any amount, request your copy of Passionate Prayer from the Bible Teaching Ministry of Chuck Swindoll. Go to insight.org. July is typically a vacation month for many in our listening family. It's a great time to break away from the routine. Well, remember, you can catch up with programs you've missed by listening to the podcast online or downloading the convenient mobile app. Download this handy tool by going directly to insight.org/app. And while our listeners often take a vacation, our ministry expenses never do. Many have found it convenient to arrange for a monthly automated gift. The process for becoming a monthly companion is quick and simple, but the impact is tremendous. This growing circle of friends is providing strength and stability to this ministry. If you're listening in the United States, become one of our valued monthly companions by calling 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Discover more about your God-given gifts and your role in the church family when you hear Chuck Swindoll again tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Finding Your Place in the Body, was copyrighted in 1993, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.